The dangers of fear. Let's talk about that this morning. Fear is a feeling we all have experienced. Am I correct about that? Everybody has experienced fear. Now, the passage in Numbers chapter 14, verse 5 through 14, shows us what happens when fear comes between us and God. Now, if you Google the word fear, you'll find a list of 400, I couldn't believe this, 496 different phobias, as they call them, fears. Now, here are some of the ones I caught my eye. I'm not going to give all 496 of them. It would take me to 1230, but I'm not going to do that. Here's one that caught my eye, allophobia, fear of flutes. Fear of flutes. That's why I'm so afraid of you, Danielle. She plays the flute. I don't know about this one. Cacophobia, fear of ugliness. It's right there. Jack Foster has this one. Catophobia, fear of hair. It's right there in the book. Ecclesiophobia. Some folks have this, fear of church. Oh, this is a good one. Jenna, this hits you today. Ephebiphobia. Ephebiphobia, fear of teenagers. Genophobia, fear of chins. Where do they get this stupid stuff? Huh? Oh, here's a good one. Homophobia, fear of sermons. Oh, here's another good one. Omphalophobia. Omphalophobia, fear of belly buttons. Do you understand where people get this stuff? Pelodophobia, fear of bald people. Sorcerophobia, fear of in-laws. We laugh at these things, and I could go on, but I'm not. 496 is a list, if you Google it, the word fear, of all the phobias that people have. Fear is a feeling we all have felt. It's important to remember that fear can be good or it can be bad. For example, each week before I preach, and today I experience it really great, I experience a small element of fear. Now, you may say, well, that fear, preacher, is not fear, it's anxiety. Or you could be saying it's having like butterflies in your stomach. When a big crowd like this comes with all of these Bible knowledge people, sometimes I get a little fearful of what I'm going to say, make sure it's exactly right. I got a lot of preachers in this crowd, and I'm sure they're checking me out every time I preach. And so I've got a lot of Bible people in this crowd. They're checking me out, making sure I'm preaching exactly right. So sometimes I come to the pulpit and I'm really kind of fearful. Maybe it's anxiety, maybe it's butterflies. But you know, that's kind of a good fear. It's not a bad fear because it keeps me on my toes. That kind of fear is good. In other words, you're not cocky, you're not presumptuous. You're saying, God, I do have this little anxiety or this little fear. I have to preach to a group of people who need to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Please, God, keep me on my toes and keep me alert and keep me sharp. That kind of fear is a good fear. It humbles me. It reminds me that my preaching is not about me. It's about the Lord Jesus. However, fear can also be bad. It can be, actually, fear can be paralyzing. It can be consuming. It's the bad side of fear this morning that I want to look at today. Open your Bible again to Numbers chapter 14, and let's look at verse 1 through 4. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses, against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt! Oh, would God we had died in this wilderness. Wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return unto Egypt. You know, neither the word fear or scared is in that passage, in those four verses, but it's clear that they were afraid. The issue was really fear, wasn't it? In fact, the last part of verse number 9, drop down to verse number 9, look at the last part there. It says, fear them not. They did have fear. Let's look at four dangers of fear found in this passage. Four dangers about fear that affect your life as well. Fear number 1, write this one down if you're going to take a note. Fear causes you to desire the past rather than looking to the future. Fear always causes us to look at the past rather than looking at the future. Look at verse number 2 through 4. You'll see the Israelites were so scared that they wanted to go back to Egypt. That's where they were in bondage. That's where they were slaves. But they wanted to go back there instead of going forward. They wanted to go back to slavery instead of taking the land that God had promised them. Fear was not new for these Israelites. And really, can you really blame them for how they felt? Now think about this, everybody. Can you really blame them for how they felt? Remember, they had been slaves now for 400 years, and they're not warriors. They're not being trained in the army and military. They're not being trained to be soldiers. They are literally slaves. And ladies and gentlemen, they've been slaves for 400 years. I can't hardly blame them for being scared. I really can't. They're not trained warriors. All they knew was slavery. There's another instance about this, similar to this one, back in Exodus chapter 4, verse 5 through 14. I'm not going to read that, but Exodus chapter 14, 5 through 14, Pharaoh had just set them free. You might remember this story. And then he changes his mind and he chases after them. When the people see the Egyptians coming after them, they tell Moses to leave them alone and let them go back. This sets the stage for that great miracle. You remember, God tells Moses to do what? God tells him to raise the staff. Raise the staff and stretch out his hand. And he does, and what happens? The Red Sea parts. They walk across on dry ground. Now here in Numbers chapter 14, the Israelites are at the edge of the blessing. How many times are you near the edge of some blessing? God wants to bless you. And you're at the edge of that blessing. You're almost there. And God wants to bless you, but then fear comes into your life. Here they are at the edge of blessing, and God promised them this blessing. And they're acting just like they did when they left Egypt. If you allow fear to control you, it will cause you to go backwards, ladies and gentlemen, instead of going forward. Everybody hear me one more time. If you allow fear, I don't care what you're fearing this morning, if you allow fear to control your life, you'll find your life going backward rather than forward. You cannot allow fear to dominate and control your life. Here the Israelites were staring their future in the face. They were about to see God give them the reward, the land that they had dreamed about. And all they can do is think about the past. Do you know people like that? By the way, are you like that? You know, I love to play basketball. And when I came to Clyde, I started a basketball team, and I'll never forget it. I started this basketball team, and then I started a basketball league in Clyde, and I thought it would be good to have all these churches play basketball together, and we had like 8 teams, and it was great, but it was so funny. Watching the church league basketball, it's hilarious. You could tell the men who could not let the past go. You know what I'm talking about? Well, what I'm talking about, that they were 40-year-olds or 35-year-olds, but they were still wearing the same pair of shorts. Now you know what I'm talking about, don't you? When they played basketball in high school, they had these favorite shorts, and so they're going to play basketball again, and they wore the same shorts to that men's league basketball. It was hilarious. Some of the folks who came to watch, they would tell me afterwards, this is funny. And you see, you say, preacher, what's the problem? Well, there's two problems with that. First of all, 22-year-old shorts are not the same style of shorts worn today. In those days, the shorts were high and tight. Today, they're long and baggy. You know, some guys play basketball in shorts. Man, they come way down to here. Look almost like a dress or culottes today. In our day, we used to wear them up here, you know, short and tight. And man, we could shoot and all that kind of stuff. You know, but And so some of these guys, 40-year-olds, man, they're coming out there in those 22-year-old shorts. Now you can imagine. That's problem number one. Problem number two is they had gained a little weight from high school 20 years later. And now those shorts that were high and tight, they were really high and tight. I'll never forget it. When I first called that lead guy, I thought, man, these guys ought to get a life. Realize that you can't be wearing that kind of stuff. I think about that. I think about a military chaplain. My son's a military chaplain. Because he is, I try to read about military chaplains so I can be a little more knowledgeable when I talk to Ken about military and chaplaincy and all that sort of thing. I've been reading about a military chaplain who is dealing with a good bit of troops coming back from the war. And I'm sure Ken can probably verify this fact, but they come back from the war with combat, what they call combat stress, or even PTSD, which means post-traumatic stress disorder. And in many of these cases, combat stress or PTSD keeps them from functioning at a high level because they cannot forget the trauma they experienced in the battlefield. They can't forget it. And this condition carries hypervigilance, and they have sleeping issues, flashbacks, nervousness, he says, nightmares. An individual can usually hide the symptoms until he starts to try to medicate himself. And when these soldiers start trying to medicate themselves with alcohol or drugs, then the problem actually gets worse. Then it gets in their marriage. The person just cannot move forward. If you live, ladies and gentlemen, in the past, listen, I counsel every day of my life. I counsel every day, and I say to folks, listen, you have got to learn to let the past go. You can't change the past. Leave it alone and march on. Don't keep frustrating yourself. Don't keep beating yourself up. Let it go. The Israelites here in Numbers chapter 14 were staring God's reward right in the face and could not move forward because of fear. Can you relate to that? Fear causes you to focus on the past instead of looking to the future. Again, fear causes you to desire the past rather than looking forward to the future. I know a lot of folks who've gotten saved will somehow backslide so easily. You know why? Because they have so much fear that they can't do it. I've had people say to me, preacher, I couldn't come to your church. I'd have to give up my drinking. I can't come to your church. I'd have to give up this. I'd have to give up that. I couldn't come. Listen, don't worry about that. Just come to Jesus as you are, and he'll take care of that. All of us who are in RU, listen, one of the things that just struggles in the minds of people is they can't let go of the past. Ladies and gentlemen, everybody here needs to understand, I've got to let go of the past and look forward to the future. Number two, write this one down. Fear causes you to forget God's provisions. Fear causes you to forget God's provision. The Israelites have seen God bring plagues upon Egypt. They have seen God part the Red Sea. They have been led by the cloud during the day and the pillar of fire by night. They had seen all of this stuff. And they have seen manna or food fall from heaven. They saw the water flow out of the rock. And soon after they left Egypt, they entered the Amalekites, encountered them. Remember the story in Exodus chapter 17 as they embarked against the Amalekites? Moses was on a hill and his arms were held up. As long as his arms were held up, somebody tell me what happened. As long as his arms were held up, what happened? They won the battle, but he got weary. His arms began to come down and he couldn't hold them up. So a couple of comrades came, Aaron and Hur. Aaron and Hur came and they held his arms up. That's like my church folks. I can do so much, but I can't do it all. And my church people here are so great, and they hold my hands up, and I preach the gospel, and I study for sermons, and I preach, and the power of God moves. But the power of God moves because you're holding my arms up, and the Spirit of God moves, and people are saved and born again. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, let me say one more time, fear caused you to forget God's provisions. The Israelites had seen God do some miraculous, incredible things, and now because of fear, they have forgotten about God and what he's able to do. And that's what happens to a lot of us in this room. We experience fear. You say, oh, preacher, there's no fear. Going, oh, don't kid me. The job market's in a mess. Some of you don't have any jobs. Some of you don't have any money coming in. Some of you are wondering about your life. Some of you wonder about your children. You're so afraid what's going to happen to your teenagers or what's going to happen to your life. What's going to happen to your relationship with mom and dad? What's going to happen with your relationship with the factory workers, the boss, the office? What's going to happen to my money? Can I make my house payment? Am I going to lose my car? There's all kinds of fear going on in our generation today. I want you to make sure of something. I want you to make sure you know right now that God has blessed your life. Do you know that everybody in this room has been blessed by God? You're able to come this morning to the house of God. You're able to sit, hear a sermon, sing some songs, and in a moment go back and have a wonderful lunch together. You are so blessed today. Amen. Everybody in this room is blessed. Amen. You might say, but preacher, I'm not blessed because I have so many problems going on. Your problems, yes, will still be there, but you're blessed today. Amen. Do not let fear make you forget that. Use fear. Use fear to motivate yourself about doing something for God and accomplishing great things for the Lord. I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, that God still does great things. I need to have some more amens on that. God still does great things. And I want you to know from that corner of the building all the way over to this corner of the building, God is still in the miracle-working business. I wonder how many people, since January till now, have been saved in this building. Any of you who have been saved from January till now, could you raise your hand? Just let me see your hand. There's one right there. How many of you are? There's two. Hey, God's still in the saving business. Do you realize that God's still in the miraculous business? How many are new members of this church? Could I see your hand? Since January 1? Good night. Hey, take a look. Hold everybody, take a look. Those are all new members right there. Is God still in the miracle working business? People say, well, folks don't want to go to church today. I'll tell you what, we have 54 brand new members that want to go to church. And those folks are involved in this church, I'm telling you. They're involved as much as anybody. And someone came to me yesterday and said, preacher, next time you do this next year, I want to be involved in this thing. I want to include me in this. I want to get in this thing. Isn't that wonderful? Listen, don't let fear, do not let fear cause you to forget God's blessings and God's provisions. Number three. I'm only going to four, so now you know about where I'm at. Fear causes division. Did you hear me, everybody? Fear causes division. Can you see the division here? If you go down to chapter 14 of the book of Numbers, verse number 10, look down at verse number 10. As you read 5 through 9, you'll finally come to verse number 10. But the congregation bade stone them with stones. What? The congregation bade them stone them with stones. The people are so divided that in verse 10, that verse tells us that even though that things were great and God had blessed them, they thought about stoning Caleb and Joshua for still trying to take the land. Caleb and Joshua were the only two that said, hey, we can take the land. Everybody else was scared to death. But those two fellows said, let's take the land. And because they wanted to take the land, the other folks got divided because of fear. And they said, let's stone them. They're leaders. They wanted to stone them. I see this in churches all the time, how fear causes division. Statistics tell us that many churches in America are declining, and I believe they are. But I believe they're declining because there's a major cause, and that major cause is fear. Our churches are not declining because we do not know the command of Christ to make disciples. We know that command. Everybody knows that command. Everybody knows that churches ought to be growing. Everybody knows that. We ought to be making disciples. Everyone knows that. That's not the reason we're in decline. And churches today are not declining because we cannot find people in our communities who do not attend church. We saw tons of people last night in that parade, and many of them don't go to church anywhere. So that's not the cause of churches declining. We haven't got less people in our world today. We have more people. There's more people than ever. So it's not because there's no people who want to come to church. That's not the reason. We're declining because God's people are too scared to go out and rescue the perishing. We're too scared to go out and try to reach the unchurched people in our communities from hell. We are scared that they might turn us down. We're scared to be rejected. We're scared because somebody might think we're old fuddy-duddies. Somebody might think we're Bible thumpers. Somebody might think, well, we're just kind of idiotic. No, ladies and gentlemen, we need to stand up and rise up and preach the gospel. There are people all over the world that need the Lord Jesus. And there's people all over this town who needs Jesus Christ. Yes, I've been here 36 years, but you know there's still people here who don't know Jesus. There's a bunch more in Fremont, and a bunch more in Bellevue, and a bunch more in Tiffin. We need to get out there. We're scared that we might be looked at differently. We're scared that if they come to church even, that church will change. Our church will get messed up. Or our fellowship will get messed up. We talk a good talk a lot of times, but we don't grow. We say we want to, but in reality, we're scared to grow. I know churches who don't want people to come. They don't want to mess up their little fellowship. And I've had people tell me since I've been a pastor of this church, preacher, we don't need all these bus kids coming. I've had my men tell me, now some of those men are not here anymore, but they told me, listen, they make marks on our walls. Those kids have dirty fingers and they're marking up our walls. I said, well, then wash them off. Not the kids, the wall. Amen. I'm in the ministry about people. Hey, everybody, isn't the ministry about people? Loving people, wanting people to come. You say, preacher, there's just too many people in this building today. You kidding me? We haven't got chairs down the aisleways yet. Some folks have told me, preacher, I'm tired of these bus kids jamming up our toilets. The first thing I said to them, how do you know it's bus kids? It might be some of the deacon's kids. Oh, the love for the people of God. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, fear causes division. I'm telling you, we don't need that. We need to get out there and win souls to Christ. Yes, we do. It's time for us, God's people, to stand up, be bold and courageous, not fearful, prideful, or short-sighted. A church should not be divided on the issue of church growth. It's God's clear desire for us to grow. If that means that we have to get together and go out every single day soul winning, we ought to do that every single day then. Amen. I've got to build for the Lord Jesus. It's our duty. Churches all over are declining because nobody wants to go out and reach anybody. You know, part of the goal last night was not just to have a bunch of stuff in the parade, but part of the goal, now listen to this, my goal for that parade was that we could get literature to as many people as we could about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will never, listen to me, you folks who didn't come, you will never have any opportunity like we had last night to take about a half hour to an hour to an hour and a half to walk the street, pass out literature, and pass out over 2,000 pieces of literature in an hour and a half. You'll never have that opportunity like that again. What a chance. And some people say, well, I don't think it's worthwhile. It is worthwhile if even one gets saved from that event. If even one gets saved. I had so many people come to the open house yesterday and sit down and talk with me, and they would say things like this, Pastor, this is awesome. Wow. In fact, one lady said, you ought to run this for the city. I said, I'm not really wanting to do that, but isn't it awesome? You know what the whole deal is? It's not trying to show how good we are. It's showing how great Christ is. We're nothing. He's all. Fear causes division. Fear causes division in marriage, by the way. Friendships, work environment. People, it's time that we replace fear with courage. Your marriage depends on it. Your marriage depends on it. You cannot live in fear that your spouse might do something that he or she has never done before. You can't be worried about that. Your friendships depend upon it. And I would submit to you this morning that your spiritual health also depends on you replacing fear with courage and focusing on unity. Number four, and I'm closing. Fear causes you to forget God's plan. Fear causes you to forget God's plan. I thought about this last night. The Israelites are letting fear cause them to forget God's plan. Look at verse number 3, if you will. In chapter 14 of verse number 3, they ask, actually, why the Lord would bring them to the point only to let them fall by the sword. Look at verse 3. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, and that our wives and our children should be a prey? They begin to ask, God, why are you doing that to me? And how many times have we asked questions in our lives, because we must take this story and relate it to our life and say, God, why would you let this happen? Because all of a sudden we get very fearful. They recognized that God had brought them to this point, but fear had caused them to replace God's promise of the land with a lie that they were not strong enough to take the land. Now listen, here's a very important point. Fear is a tool that's used by the devil to keep you from accomplishing what God wants you to accomplish. God has a plan for your life. God is not the God of fear. Satan is the author of fear. If you look in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7, it tells us here that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Now, everybody, listen to that. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That sound mind means a disciplined mind. I have love. I have power. That's what God's given me. And not a mixed up mind. Not what in the world am I going to do? I'm so nervous. I'm so fearful. I'm so upset. God gives you a sound mind, everybody. Controlled mind. He gave you a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. Do you feel like you have that spirit of power this morning? Or do you have the spirit of fear? Do you feel like you have a spirit of love or a spirit of fear? Do you feel like you have the spirit of power, self-discipline, sound mind? That means you can't control your feelings of fear. Do you have it this morning? God has great plans for your life. Do not let the lie of fear keep you from those plans. God's plans will take you places that you never thought you could ever go before in your life. And fear is your biggest enemy. But God loves you this morning. I thought about this story. I love reading stories, especially of firemen. Military, I love reading those stories as well. But I read a story about two firemen who lost their lives in a fire. Now that in itself always breaks my heart when I hear those stories, because that family is now without a daddy. But these two firemen lost their lives. And I'm compelled when I hear a story like that to pray for their families, their wives and their children. Then I thought about those firemen and what they were attempting to do. They are trained, now listen to me, they are trained to run into a burning building. I am trained to run out of a burning building. Aren't you? That's why we have fire drills and all that. We're trained to run out of a building when a fire starts, right? We know how to have the route out of the building. We post them on our office doors, and everybody knows how to leave and where to go. But firemen are trained to run into a building that's burning. Firemen see it as their mission to run to the building and ensure that everyone else has gotten out. Are they scared? Well, Dana's a fireman, or was at one time. And I'm sure he'd tell you, yes, I get a little scared. I'm sure. But you know what conquers the fear is the mission. I'm going to save somebody today. Or have the opportunity. Listen, every one of you soul winners, don't be afraid. Because every single day you talk about Jesus, you have the opportunity maybe to save somebody. Just like the fireman. Have the opportunity maybe to save somebody who's headed for a devil's hell. And I have the opportunity to reach them. Tell them about the Lord. Why do they go in? Because they keep their minds on the mission. If they only thought of themselves, they would never run into that burning building. But they have to focus on their purpose. You need to focus on your purpose that God has given to your life. I wonder who's God talking to this morning. We need to do the same thing. Fear causes us to dwell on the past. It causes us to forget the blessing that God has given to us. It causes division and discord. And it keeps us from our purpose. Ladies and gentlemen, God has a purpose and a plan for everybody in this room. Do not let fear come between you and God's purpose. Keep your eyes on the mission. Keep your eyes on God. And with God's power, there is nothing, really nothing, to fear. Let's stand together, please.